Thank you, Eric, for that reading, and Daniel for our singing, and Phil's comments around the table. We have had an opportunity already to think about spiritual things on this Lord's Day, and it's encouraging to be able to come together to do that very thing. If I were to ask you this morning, what do you believe to be one of the greatest needs in the Lord's church today? What would you think of? What would come to your mind? When I say the Lord's church, I mean in general, Christians all over the world, what we call the universal church, or the local congregation here at Warfield. What is the greatest need that comes to your mind? The thing that we could use the most that would benefit the cause of Christ in this area. Well, a number of things might come to mind. It might be something physical in nature. Somebody might think, well, something of a building nature, a church building, the physical plant, the physical structure in which Christians meet. Somebody might think that we could use something better in that regard. Somebody might think of money. The Lord's church could always use more money. Think of the good things that we could do with that, maybe. We might even think along the lines of revelation from God. Maybe we could use another message from God. And when I think about that, I think of the fact that we have all that God wants for us. Peter said that we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And Paul writes that with regard to Scripture, it will thoroughly furnish us unto every good work. So we have all revelation. What is it that we could benefit from the most? One thing that comes to my mind is that we could use more New Testament Christians. We could use more Christians, men and women, young and old, who are just like the faithful Christians in the New Testament church. And we've been reading about some of those in the book of Acts and studying about some of those, and I want to talk about one in particular, Apollos, this morning, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 18. Wednesday evening, we, in our Bible study, some of us were studying in the book of Acts, and we looked at this character, Apollos, and I'd like to spend some more time with him this morning in a lesson that I've entitled, The Conversion of a Preacher. Paula, would you mind loading the other one? We'll study this one this evening. If you could load the one that says Apollos, that would be great. I guess we could go over that one and then you wouldn't have to come tonight. We could do that. But as Paula is pulling up that PowerPoint, in Acts chapter 18, we're going to read about an individual named Apollos, and we're going to read verses 24 through 28 in just a moment. And when we went over this Wednesday night, some were making comments to me that it might be a good opportunity to draw a lesson from this individual. So I want to talk about the conversion of a preacher. You know, you think about cases of conversion in the book of Acts, and you think about individuals who need to come to Christ, and a preacher might not be on the top of the list, but this man's a preacher, and he needs to make some changes. There you go. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. What can we learn from this man this morning? And in my opening remarks, I'm thinking about a faithful member of the church here. And we're going to look at some qualities of this man that I would like for all of us to have in our lives today. And I think it would make the church, I know that it would make the church a better place. In Acts chapter 18, we find in verse 18 that when Paul left Corinth, he went to Ephesus for a little while and they wanted him to stay. And he said, I need to go on. I'll try to come back when I can. And he does that in chapter 19. Well, when he leaves, Priscilla and Aquila stay behind in Ephesus and they're going to meet up with this man named Apollos. And let's start the reading in chapter 18 and verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by race, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him unto him and expounded unto him the way of God more accurately. And when he was minded to pass over into Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to receive him. And when he was come, he helped them much that had believed through grace. For he powerfully confuted the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And so we read about this man and some of his activities in Ephesus. And then he's going to leave and go to Corinth, chapter 19, verse 1. And he's going to do some preaching there. What can we learn about this man for our lives today? Well, there are six qualities I want us to consider that I'd like for us to have in our lives today. And I want us to think about the idea of conversion in the sense of change. How can we change and improve and be a better Christian? Well, if you go back through the text, starting in verse 24, the text says that this Apollos was a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by race, and he was an eloquent man. Your version might say that he was a learned man or an eloquent man. The first lesson that we can learn about this man is that when he was growing up in Alexandria, Egypt, he wanted to improve himself. He wanted to grow and change and learn more. And he's going to use this learning to be a servant of Christ and a gospel preacher. Alexandria, Egypt, at this time had about 1 million Jews. Some of them started coming into this area during and after the Babylonian captivity. And in the time of Christ, and in the time that we read here, there are about 1 million Jews in Alexandria, Egypt. The city is very large. It's divided up into five quarters, and the Jews had two of those quarters. Now, not quarter in the sense of fourths. You can't have five fourths. But neighborhoods, quarters in that sense. So five different areas or neighborhoods, and the Jews took up two of them. And there are a lot of Jews in Alexandria, Egypt. Alexandria, Egypt was formed about 300 years before the time of Christ from Alexander the Great. When he had conquered the world, he gave this part of the world to one of his generals, and this city was named Alexandria after Alexander the Great. And there was a large Greek influence in Alexandria. They were known for two things. Their large library that at this time contained one of the most famous books in all of the world, the Septuagint. This was the Greek translation of the Old Testament that was done 200 years before the time of Christ. So a massive library that had very important books in it, the Septuagint being one of them, and it also had a university. And this man, Apollos, is described by Luke as an eloquent man. The Greek word means someone who is learned and skilled and educated, particularly in speaking. He probably would have taken advantage of the higher learning in Alexandria. But what's interesting about this man is that he's not just a scholar. He's not just someone who is interested in learning, but he's going to take this learning and use it to improve his life in service to Christ. And so this morning, the first lesson that I'd like for us to consider from this man is that he used his opportunities to improve himself. Brethren, can we use our opportunities to improve ourselves and be a better servant to Jesus Christ? Peter talks about growing unto salvation. Can we grow? And can we use the opportunities that God gives us, not just here at the church, but, and I'm not talking about just opportunities in Bible study. I'm talking about even secular education. Our young people going to Austin Peay right now and other places. Can we use the opportunities that God gives us in our work, advancement in our work? You can talk to Lyndon after services about the advanced placement that he got recently and talk with him about he's moving up. That's exciting. Now, whether it's at work, whether it's at school or somewhere else, can we use the opportunities around us to improve and grow and change and then use that in the Lord's service? Let's talk about higher education for just a moment. We've got some college kids here this morning. Let me ask you something. Why are you going to college? Why are you going to a university? You ever thought about that? why are you getting a higher education? Usually the answer is so that I can get a job. That's usually the way it's framed. I mean, I remember that when I was going to school. You go to college so you can get a job. Have you ever thought about getting an education, and I'm even talking about a secular education, in order to improve yourself to be a better servant of Christ? You ever thought about it that way? So I'm learning English and grammar so that I can share Christ with others. And even math and science, the sciences, so that I can have a better understanding of God's natural world and how that He created all of that. How I can use health, medicine and health to help other people and to help them understand that the human body is made by God's design. Anything. How about social studies and psychology and sociology to better understand people, to talk with them about Jesus Christ? How about using a job placement or a job advancement to put you in a position where you can better share Jesus Christ with others? That's what Apollos did. Here's a man, most likely going to one of the most prestigious schools of the day, Alexandria, Egypt. And he has become a learned man. He's skilled. But he's using that in the Lord's service. I want us to think about that today. Especially our young people and even adults. We talk about adult continuing education. Let's be someone who uses our opportunities to improve ourselves so that we can use that in turn in the Lord's service. Do you know that in the period of the Renaissance, the 1300s up to the Reformation period around the 1600s AD, for about 300 years there was a period of time where, especially in England, the university was actually used to teach young people how to be better servants of God. Did you know that? And I'm not talking about in religion. I'm not talking about producing ministers. I'm talking about English, math, science, literature, history. It was used to encourage young people to use their minds and bodies in God's service. We've completely gotten away from that today in the modern day university. It's the opposite. It's trying to get young people to get away from God. But do you know that there was a time when young people were learned and educated in order to use their minds and bodies in God's service? Some of the great physicians that we could name came from that period of time. Some of the great scientists that we could name came from that period of time, and they were all believers in God. The days of Galileo and others. And so, the point simply is that this man used his opportunity to learn, even in a secular education, in order to be a better servant later in life of God. And I want to encourage our people to do that today. Use your opportunities to grow and improve and be a better servant of Jesus Christ. This man who was learned and skilled, it was not simply for knowledge's sake. It was not simply where Apollos could graduate from the University of Alexandria and put a plaque on the wall and a piece of paper and look at my diploma. He used it to serve Jesus Christ. And I want us to do that the same today. So whatever it is, whether it's formal learning, whether it's your job, whether it's your own personal self-improvement and personal self-education, whatever you're reading and studying, think of it in the context of using my mind and body better to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Luke tells us something else about this man. And it gets to our point that we're making with regard to serving God and Jesus Christ. Look at what the text says. That he was an eloquent man. He had a formal education in learning. Very smart man. But notice what the text says. He's using that learning to better his relationship with God, because the text says he was mighty in the Scriptures and that he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. This was not a man who just simply could stand up and speak really well. He was an orator. He was able to form the Greek or Hebrew language in just this beautiful kind of way. That's not what's going on here. He's using his learning to learn about God and His Word. So he has substance to him. It's not just sound. It's not just somebody who can stand up and speak really well. He has substance to his life. He has a grounding in the Word of God. The text says in verse 24 that he was mighty in the Scriptures. From this word, we get the word dynamite and dynamic and dynamo. We could say that Apollos was a dynamic speaker. But what was he speaking? Where was his power? It was in the Word of God. This would be the Old Testament Scriptures. And as I mentioned earlier, in the days of Apollos, in that library across town would have been the Septuagint. He would have known the Old Testament Scriptures as a Jew and even in reading it in Greek, whether it's the Septuagint. But here's my point. His secular education did not hinder his religious education. His secular education, he used that to bring him to a better understanding of his religious education. You know, when people go to a university today, they're not trained to be mighty in the Scriptures. Listen, they're trained to be mighty against the Scriptures. And people are using their secular education today to grow farther away from God, not get closer. We need to learn from Apollos that we can be very educated and very learned and also know our Bible. And it's a beautiful thing. And notice the text says that he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He stayed on the right path, the way of the Lord. So our second point that we can learn from this man is that he wanted a right relationship with God that is brought about by understanding the Scriptures. It's not just about education for education's sake. It's not just about, hey, look at that diploma that I have on the wall. Look at that piece of paper. Look at how smart I am. It was, I want to learn more so that I can be a better servant of Jesus Christ. And I want a right relationship with God that comes only through a study of the Word of God. I don't know exactly what Apollos studied. I don't know if he studied in Alexandria math and science and history and all of those kinds of things. I don't know. But I know that if he were doing that kind of thing, he did not neglect a study of the Word of God. And that's what made him such a great preacher and a great servant for Christ. Turns me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul from Ephesus is going to write 1 Corinthians around this same time. And notice what Paul says about this matter of education or learning. The Corinthians spent a lot of time thinking about oratory and philosophers and that kind of thing. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1, "Brethren, when I came unto you," Acts chapter 18, "I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom," that's human wisdom, "proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Look at this. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." In a town, and Apollos later went to Corinth, in a town that put a lot of emphasis on education and persuasive words of wisdom, that's what the Stoic and Epicurean philosophers did. That's what Plato and Socrates and Aristotle, that's what they did. It's all about human wisdom and being able to speak that. Paul says, "I just came and I preached Christ and Him crucified." We have to keep our grounding right. And that is, it's the Scriptures first and a right relationship with God first. Paul is going to write to Timothy later too, know the Word of God, to study or give diligence to show yourself approved, handling aright the Word of truth, or rightly dividing the Word of truth. He's going to say in chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, that the Scriptures that you've learned from a babe, they're going to make you wise unto salvation. And those Scriptures are inspired of God and they'll make you complete. It's about the Word of God. Know your Bible. That's what's going to give you a right relationship with God. What happens is when people go off to get an education, a lot of times they move away from God. A lot of times they move away from the Scriptures. And some of it is just simply a time situation. You're spending all of your time with this learning and your whole day is spent with human wisdom and man's learning. We talk about daily Bible reading, why that's so important. And there's just so much time on the learning of human things or secular things that people just leave their Bible off to the side. And they slowly wane in their relationship with God. He wanted a right relationship with the Lord in the midst of all of this learning. And he wanted to use his learning for the Lord. So it's not either or, it's both. And that's what we're getting at this morning. What a great person we find in this man. He's mighty in the Scriptures. How well do you know your Bible? How well do I know my Bible? Luke says something else about this man. Luke tells us that he was fervent in spirit. And that he spake boldly when he was preaching. He was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, knowing only the baptism of John. This word carries with it the idea of boiling over or burning or bubbling up. He aggressively wanted to apply what he had learned. This was not simply intellectual knowledge for knowledge's sake. It was not learning for learning's sake. He wanted to give away what he had learned, and we can't give away what we don't have. We can't give away what we don't have. If we don't have knowledge of the Scriptures, we can't give that away to others. And he wanted to learn and study and grow and improve so that he could do something with that on a practical application basis. And that's the way we need to be thinking. What do we do with our Bible learning while we're here in class? What do we do with the learning that we might get from a sermon, or the learning that we might get from a Bible class, or the learning that we might get from daily Bible reading? What do we do with that? Are we excited, fervent in spirit to share that with somebody else? How many times we've learned things but then didn't do anything with it? So the third quality we find about this man is that he wanted to be a fervent doer, a zealous doer of the Word, not just a hearer. Let's see how much knowledge I can accumulate. And what do Greek words mean and Hebrew words mean? And I'm going to go over to the library in Alexandria and I'm going to read from the Septuagint. And I'm going to learn some stuff today. Well, what are you going to do with it, Apollos? Oh, I'm not going to do anything with it. I just like to learn things. You see, he wanted to go out and share that with others. Let's go out and share what we know with others and be fervent about that and boldly speak. What are we doing with the learning that we're getting? Apollos was excited about doing that. In the Scripture reading this morning in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 that Eric had, fervent in spirit, fervent in spirit serving the Lord. What are you doing with your education? What are you doing with the mind and the body that God has given you? What are we using our talents for and our knowledge for? At some point, let's be practical in the application of it and actually go out and give it away. Actually help people to come to Christ and learn more about the Word of God. He was a zealous doer of the word and a practical applier of the word. What do I do with all those books in my library? What do I do with all that? What do you do with the books that you have in your library? What do you do with all that information? What do you do with the computer programs and the internet and all the stuff that we have, just tons of knowledge and information? What are we doing with all of that? Let me encourage us, like Apollos, to go out in Clarksville, whether it's today or starting tomorrow, just do something with it at work. Do something with it at school, as we talk with others about Jesus Christ. So, he was a very learned man. But it wasn't just knowledge for knowledge's sake, but to take that and help others with it. Luke tells us something else about Apollos, and something that we need to focus on today. All of these qualities we need in the Lord's body today. The text says that he taught accurately, based upon the knowledge that he had had up to that point before Priscilla and Aquila get a hold of him. The text says that he taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, knowing only the baptism of John, verse 25. He had a body of information. As we're going to see in just a minute, it's incomplete. Priscilla and Aquila are going to help fill that out. But what he had, he was accurate with it. Can we be accurate with the Word of God? Accuracy. When you go to the doctor, especially when it involves surgery, something that's invasive and evasive, he's cutting into you or she is cutting into you, do you want them to be accurate? Do you want them to be accurate when they're right next to your heart? Do you want them to be accurate when they're right next to arteries and blood vessels and things like that? You want them to be accurate. In fact, that's the actual word that is used in 2 Timothy 2:15 to cut a straight course in the Word of God. It's translated handle accurately. But literally, it's to cut straight. Ortho tomeo, to cut straight. Be accurate. Be careful in our use of the Word of God. What's interesting about Apollos is we find in verse 25 that he's very zealous. The text says he's fervent in spirit. Now listen carefully. That fervency and that zeal did not cloud his knowledge and his accuracy. Have you ever noticed somebody that's been really excited about something, but they don't handle the Word of God right? Sometimes different denominations will come and knock on your door, different groups. They're very zealous, right? They're very fervent, they're very zealous, but they're not accurate with the Word of God. They've been taught some things from man that's not the truth. So you can be very zealous, you can be fervent in spirit, you can be excited, but then we're kind of loosey-goosey with the Word of God. We need to be accurate. We need to teach exactly what the Word of God teaches. And so notice that his zeal did not cloud his accuracy. He wanted to be careful and accurate in all that he taught about Jesus. And what a great quality for us today. No matter what it is we're talking about in the Word of God, whether it's the plan of salvation or many, many other things, marriage and divorce, we need to be accurate in what the Word of God says. Know the Scripture. Be accurate with the words of Scripture. Accuracy is a great quality needed today in the Lord's body. Luke, this same word, accurate, here in Acts 18, this same word is used over in Luke chapter 1. Turn with me there. When Luke, who's writing Acts, also wrote the Gospel of Luke, notice that he wanted to be accurate. As you're turning over to Luke chapter 1, let me say this. Our young people live in a world where the Bible is constantly being torn down. And I want you to know that when you pick up your Bible, you're picking up something that is accurate. It's historically accurate. Okay? And we can trust what it says because of its accuracy. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 3, it seemed good to me also, Luke, having traced the course of all things accurately from the first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that you might know the certainty concerning the things wherein thou wast instructed. Certainty is based upon accuracy. And when Apollos turned to the Scriptures, I don't know if he had copies
like the Ethiopian eunuch had a copy of the Isaiah scroll. I don't know how much he had in his possession, actual copies of Scripture. But when he appealed to the Old Testament Scriptures concerning Jesus, he was right and accurate. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Paul faced some Jews of his day. Paul says, I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Don't ever be zealous without the accuracy part. These Jews were zealous for God. Many of them tried to get people to come to God, but it was without knowledge. They were trying to get them to come to God through the Old Testament law that had now been done away. They weren't getting people to come to God through Jesus Christ. They had a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. And he goes on to explain in verses 3, 4, and 5 where they're missing it. It's great to be zealous. It's great to be on fire. It's great to be excited. But put all of that with accuracy. And both of those qualities together are found in Apollos. Luke goes on to say something else about this man that we need today. We need these qualities today. We need to use our learning to improve ourselves in the service of Christ. We need to be mighty in the Scriptures. We need to know our Bible. We need to be fervent. And then we need to balance that with accuracy. And then Luke goes on to say something else about this man. He says that when Priscilla and Aquila got a hold of him, that they taught him more accurately. And he was willing to change. And here's where I get my title, The Conversion of a Preacher. Here's a man who had been preaching. He was bold. He was fervent. He knew his Bible, but he was lacking in some more information about Jesus Christ. And Priscilla and Aquila, who would be a great subject for another lesson, where husbands and wives can sit down and help Christians grow, that's the subject of another lesson, they taught him more accurately. He needed to learn some more things. Verse 26, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more accurately. Notice his humility. He was humbly willing to learn more from two tent makers. Can you imagine that? When Apollos got done with one of his sermons, Priscilla and Aquila, and this happens a lot, you know, when the service is over with, the congregation's going up, good sermon, preacher. Appreciate that sermon, preacher. Good point. Priscilla and Aquila walk out and they catch Apollos and they say, hey, could you come over to the house? We'd like to talk with you a little bit. He comes over and they share unto him more accurately the way of God. Can you imagine what's going through his mind? Now look, I went to school in Alexandria, okay? You two little tent makers can't teach me anything. You goatskin tent makers can't teach me anything. He could have had that approach, couldn't he? You see that plaque on the wall over there? I went to Alexandria. I spent my life in that library over there, and you're going to teach me something? You see? No. Humility. He accepted what they said. He wanted to grow. He wanted to learn. He wasn't closed-minded. He accepted correction. He was teachable. And with grace and humility, he sits and listens to this husband and wife and learns more about Jesus Christ. He didn't want to mislead anybody anymore. He didn't want to be misled himself. So he accepts this truth. And so we learn another great quality from this man. And that is the quality of members of the church today who will always keep an open mind to things that are being said with regard to the Word of God. Learning more, growing more. Taking what we've learned in the past and adding to that. Be willing to change in this area. We find the same thing later in chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, where these disciples of John the Baptist knew a lot of things from the teaching of John the Baptist, but they needed to learn some more things about the baptism of Jesus, and they're baptized. And Apollos, I'm sure, was baptized as well, being in the same situation. The conversion of a preacher. Keep an open mind. Always have the attitude of, I want to learn and grow more. Somebody is saying something to me. Somebody has come to me and said something to me that I need to consider that. When Priscilla and Aquila took him to the side, he didn't say, no, I've got a level of knowledge that's, you know, I've been in the Church of Christ 40 years and you can't teach me anything. He said, let me listen to what you have to say. And he humbly made those corrections. What a great quality for us today. Always be learning. Always be growing. Always keep an open mind. Always be teachable, regardless of our age. And when people come to us, like Priscilla and Aquila, this great Christian couple, even if they are just lowly tent makers, when they have the truth, they have something that we need and will benefit from it. I appreciate those in my life who have come to me from time to time and said, hey, I hear you teaching and preaching such and such. Would you consider this and sit down and have a Bible study and learn more? I have to do that. I would encourage you to do that as well. And then last of all, let's look at one final thing and the lesson will be yours in verse 27. With this newfound knowledge that he had gotten from Priscilla and Aquila, he wants to continue preaching and teaching, and he was minded to pass over and go over into Achaia, to Corinth in particular. He wanted to help his brethren there. He wanted to take the fruits of his new knowledge and keep preaching and teaching. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He carried on. And it's in this part of the scripture, look with me at verse 27 and 28, what a man like this or a woman like this can do even today. The disciples wrote to receive him in Corinth, and when he was come, he helped them much that had believed through grace. Use your mind and body to go out of this building and help others. Those who are already Christians, like here, or others to become Christians. Verse 28, for he powerfully refuted the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. I want to look at a few words here. Look at verse 28. He powerfully refuted the Jews. The word powerful there means not the word mighty back up in the text, but it means literally to stretch well out. And so it's the idea of taking a string and stretching it as hard as you can. And when you're pulling on that string, that takes a lot of power, a lot of veracity. And someone who's pulling a string is as tight as he or she can pull it. There's a lot of energy there. There's a lot of excitement there. There's a lot of tenacity there. Number two, he refuted. The word literally means to thoroughly answer. No matter what was brought up, he thoroughly answered that with the Word of God. Number three, publicly. This was out in front of others where people could hear and grow and learn and come to the truth. Public discussions, even today, are good. It helps people to hear both sides and learn to come to the truth. And number four, the text says, showing. The word there means to demonstrate, to use arguments that demonstrate the truthfulness of what is being set forth, and it was all done by the scriptures. You see how he used his education and his learning and the talents that God gave him? Do you see how he's using that? Let's go out and do that the same. And we don't have to be a preacher in a pulpit to do that. You can do that in your classroom at school. You can do that while you're walking on campus. You can do that when you're at a break at work. You can do that with someone in the neighborhood. A man who's using his growth and talent in the service of Christ. And when Paul writes about this later, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. This is the other place where Apollos is mentioned in Scripture outside the book of Acts. 1 Corinthians And then one time in Titus. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He was willing to be a co-worker with Paul. There was no rivalry here. There was no, well, I'm educated, so I'm better than somebody else. He was willing to work with Paul. Paul said, I came to Corinth, I planted, Apollos watered. And we're simply co-workers. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Ministers through whom you believed, and each as the Lord gave, I planted. That's when Paul came there in Acts 18. And Apollos watered. That's when he came there at the end of 18, the first of 19. But God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He was willing to work as a co-worker. Let's go out and join hands and work together here at Warfield Boulevard. Men and women, young and old, joining hands to plant and water and bring people to Jesus Christ. I find it interesting in 1 Corinthians that apparently when Apollos came to Corinth, look with me at chapter 1 and verse 12. Some wanted to start following Apollos. Some wanted to say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. And Paul and Apollos had to say, no, don't follow us. The church was dividing over personalities. And you think about Apollos coming to Corinth, they could probably tell that he was an educated man. Well, let's start following him. No, we always have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. It's not about the person, it's about Jesus Christ. And so Paul has to say, don't follow me, don't follow Apollos. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that in us you might learn not to go beyond the things that are written. Your version might say, to think of men above that which is written. Don't follow the man. Follow Jesus Christ. And so he was willing to be a co-worker. Will you and I improve ourselves today? Let's improve ourselves. And use that improvement in the Lord's service. And while we're improving ourselves, always make sure that you have a right relationship with God. Never lose your grounding in the Word of God. Apollos, for all of his learning, always kept in mind that he wanted to be mighty in the Scriptures. And then he was fervent in sharing that with others. We don't want knowledge just for knowledge's sake. We want to go out and actually apply that in our families and in our marriages and in people that we come in contact. We want to apply that learning. Don't just let the dusty books collect dust there, but that knowledge, that learning needs to be applied to bring people to Christ. We need to be accurate. And study, study, study. Read, read, read in the Word of God. Be as accurate as you can be with each and every word and concept in the Word of God. Be willing to change. Keep an open mind and have an attitude of always wanting to hear and learn more. Is there something else that I need to hear where I can make that change? And then go out and let's work together in this community to bring other people to Jesus Christ. What a great lesson in Apollos. Well, we're going to stand in just a moment and sing that song of encouragement. We appreciate your presence. We appreciate our time to study from the Word of God. Maybe the change you need to make this morning is coming and being baptized into Christ or to come back to the Lord in some way. To have that humility that Apollos had in making that change. Maybe that's for you this morning. But let's go out and learn these lessons from this great man. I believe one of the greatest things we could use in the Lord's church today is a personality like Apollos. And we can all be that. Let's be that this week. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?